Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Well, thank you, Dave. Yeah, it's the last day of the month of October. You know what that means, don't you? Yeah. We're not going to get crazy about Halloween, mind you, but we're just going to have a little bit of fun and a lot of music. It's going to be, if you can absorb this, sexy and spiritual and scary, sometimes all at the same time. We're going to have a couple of hours worth of this, and then we're going to march right to the sound of a beautiful guitar. My friend, as of the past couple of months, Tom Lorem, the more I know about this gentleman, the more intrigued I am. His story is the anti-Halloween, which is why I wanted him on the show today. He'll be here during the last hour of the show. He's got a story that's about redemption and forgiveness and all of the things that you don't normally associate with Halloween, which makes it that much more special. So we're going to have an interesting mix today. Now, I have to do something, and bear with me. Hold on, and listen to Daoud Said's music. I just talked to him the other day. He's doing fine. He's got some good news coming, too. And so do we. We're going to start out with Kendrick Scott's Oracle and Pendulum from his latest CD, Mr. Scott, Conviction, on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Happy Halloween.
Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is doubt, let us sow faith. Where there is despair, let us sow hope. Where there is sadness, let us sow joy. And where there is darkness, let us sow light. Divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled, but yet to console others. Grant that we may not so much seek to be understood, but yet to understand others. Grant that we may not so much seek to be loved, but yet to love others, because it's in giving that we receive. It's in dying to ourselves. Thank you.
This is Hybrid Jazz.
Just like the sun, an ageless flame. Just like the moon and sin. Just like your eyes that shine. Forever here, through all time, lies a long road home. Love is a song with no symbol.
Looking back.
gentle rain, softer than moonlight, come, lingers by twilight.
One of the great vocalists in our time, oh my gosh, and a courageous woman, and I'm so proud to say one of my friends, and she will be for life, Chris McNulty, from this over-the-top praiseworthy CD. Let me tell you something, I cannot say enough how this CD, the song that sings you here, has become so revered. You have seen these grown jazz reviewers who have done a number of reviews through the years. I've seen at least six where these men and women have just been at a loss for words to describe the authenticity of the way Chris sings. There's nothing phony about the way Chris McNulty delivers a song, which is in and of itself a gift. But she has an added something on the song that sings you here, especially the last track that you just heard, which is very, very close to her heart, Long Road Home, the song that sings you here. And, of course, that's the title. She, if you know about this show at all and have heard us talk about Chris, she lost her only son last year, Sam, a.k.a. Chap One. There are some of us who know the story behind the story about Sam. What matters is that Chris has picked herself up and dusted herself off, and she is emerging from the ashes of that grief and is now, as we speak, in Victoria, Australia, sleeping, hopefully. It's the 4 a.m. hour on November the 1st. Chris is one of the stars, along with her magic trio, that will be performing at the one and only, I get so excited about this festival, Wangaratta Jazz and Blues Festival, happening through the 4th And my prayer is that she gets a chance to spend some time with Gerald Clayton, who's also over there. They are going to find a connection. I just know it. We have to mention some of the folks that are with Chris on this CD. Over in Australia with her, Ugano Okegwo on bass, also Paul Bolenbach on guitar, and on piano there, Andre Kondakov. Just beautiful musicians all the way around. If you get a chance, please pick up this CD, The Song That Sings You Here. You're going to find some standards and some originals like that that you will not hear done in the same way. It's not only because Chris is from Australia, and when you're from across the water, you have a different take on jazz. She is so purely into the genre of jazz that I just can't say enough. I love her so much. Can you tell? Yeah. Anyway, we also heard the Brecker Brothers from their CD, 1975, excuse me, LP. That was their debut on Arista, Levitate. Perfect little Halloween song. And just to give you a little background on Michael Brecker and Randy Brecker, not that you need one, but such wonderful brothers. Cheltenham, PA's finest, in the same county. We all grew up in the same county, and we never knew. If you go back in time to hear Hello, It's Me from Todd Rundgren, you will hear Michael and Randy. You will also hear them on Parliament's Mothership Connection. Yes. And Randy went on to be very familiar with Al Cooper and Blood, Sweat, and Tears. He was on the Child is Father to the Man LP back in the day. My first long playing record, my first vinyl, the long playing kind. Had those 45s, but Child is Father to the Man was important. They did their time with Frank Zappa. You know Michael Brecker's story. God rest his soul. Passed away in 2007, much too soon. Woo! What a legacy he left. And Randy is still going strong. Brecker Brothers for you. Another little sort of Halloween treat. And Kendrick Scott and his Oracle, Pendulum, from the CD Conviction, which is also getting rave reviews. Oh, my God, yes. Beautiful, beautiful band. Taylor Eichsty on piano, Joe Sanders on bass, Mike Marino on guitar, John Ellis on tenor sax, and then Kendrick on drums. Our former guest on Hybrid Jazz is doing Ted Nash's Big Band at Dizzy's at Lincoln Center on the 2nd. He's also touring with Bobby McFerrin and Kurt Elling. If you're going to do it right, right? Yes! Tom Lorem is coming up in the third and final hour of the show. In this set, I want to make sure you understand, because Al Chestnut is visiting with us in the chat room. We're going to hear something brand new from my brother, who's got Philly roots. Whenever you hear the Chestnut Brothers, you can be assured that if you are a homie, as I am, there is a sound of Philadelphia that rings true. This is Al Chestnut on his own, tied behind the scenes. This is one of those songs that's coming up in the next 10 or so minutes that grabs you right away, holds you, throws you back, and pushes you forward. Speaking of which, there's a time change this weekend for those of us in the States. Be aware of that. Joshua Redman's going to start things off, and then you're going to hear a blast from the past. It's going to be a good set right here on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Mm-hmm. This is Hybrid Jazz.
Right from the
All right now, I told you it was going to be a couple of things today on this Halloween show. It was going to be spiritual, scary, and sexy. And a couple of those things all combined some of the time. Al Chestnut right there. Mm-hmm. Touch Me in a Special Way. That is brand new. I see that Matt Williams has just joined the chat room. We've got Al Chestnut there. We've got Beach and Griselda and Cher Lindsay. So nice to see you, Cher. And I know that Cher was checking in because she wants to see that Al's song gets played. And Al, feel free, my brother. Give us a call, 323-843-6172, and tell us about the circumstances of this new song. It's always a thrill to play something by the Chestnut Brothers because, woo, it's just so reminiscent of back in the day for some of us, honestly. You know, you have this special connection to certain kinds of music, and now Al is doing his own thing, and it's really touching us in a special way because it just sounds like home. Man, that's nice. We also heard from Gatto Barbieri. And actually, if you want to get real technical about it, that translates into Barbieri the cat. Yeah. Caliente is the name of the album from 1976. And that song, the Carlos Santana song, Europa, is something that is always going to be associated with Gatto. Just an amazing individual. What a story. As a teenager playing with Lalo Schifrin, and he was about 12 or so, and Juan Perón was in power, so jazz was frowned upon. If you wanted to do national Argentinian songs, that was okay, but much was forbidden. So you can imagine the stories he has. Gatto will turn 81 on the 28th of November, so we can all rejoice that he's still with us. Joshua Redman and Chill from Mood Swing, 1994. Yeah. Brad Meldow on piano, Christian McBride on double bass, Brian Blade on drums. His new one, Joshua, is Walking Shadows and doing quite well. He's got dates from the East Coast to the West, always a very busy sax man, cute as a button, too. Speaking of which, here he is, ladies and gentlemen, singer extraordinaire, composer, entrepreneur, gentleman's quarterly, absolute favorite, that bon vivant, Al Chestnut. Hey, Al.
Hey, sweetie. How you doing?
Good. How are you? Congratulations to you.
Oh, thank you, darling. I appreciate that.
How about it? And how is it that Touch Me in a Special Way came to be? Please explain to us, your fans.
Ty and I had the privilege of doing some collaborating with songwriter, producer extraordinaire Bobby Eli, another Philly homeboy. Actually, about 14, 15 years ago. That's how long we've been sitting on this one. And we had originally written it with the Temptations in mind.
Really?
Featuring, yeah, Ron Tyson. But as fate would have it, we were never able to connect those dots. And it just has been floating in the ethers between then and now. And when it came time for my solo project, this one just jumped out at me as what we felt would be a perfect single just to take the spotlight off of the social consciousness music that we've been primarily promoting, you know, for so many years.
Yep.
And
yep,
put it back on love and romance, which is a strength that many who admire us have felt that we have not put enough focus on, you know. But when you are as committed as we are to social activism and human rights, it's not a suit we put on and take off.
I know
so
it.
Those who don't walk that path don't clearly understand that this is a life mission that was ordained by the Creator. So more or less, we're just living out the script. But I must say that it exceeded, you know, my expectations in terms of the overall production, and just to have Ty and Paul and myself back in the saddle again in terms of our co-production efforts. It's just, I can't even put it in words. It was just such a joy, and to have Ty so actively involved, you know, I don't want to go into too much detail why he's no longer active, but you know.
Sure. Yes.
But trust
yes.
me, he's right here beside me, always will be. That's the right side of my heart. And he played a major, major role in my evolution. Trust me when I tell you, he's the straw that stirs the chestnut brother's drink.
Aww. I know that you and Ty are so close, and you're always going to have that bond, and you've made some incredible music. This particular one, Al, look, the Temptations were not supposed to have it. That's all I can say, because your spin on it was, it's just unforgettable. I mean, sometimes when you hear a song for the first time, it doesn't stick. You have to hear it a couple of times before it registers. And sometimes
right.
you want to like a song, and you don't necessarily have a chemical reaction to it. And you actually flounder, because for me, I try to find the words. I want to like some things more than I honestly do. But here, it took me out right away, and this is like the fifth or sixth time I've heard it, and it's still taken me out.
Well, I must say, Trish, you know, being a homegirl and such a huge, huge Chestnut Brothers fan, even though I'm humbled by my other compliment, you are kind of biased now.
Well, you love our music
so much. But I thank you.
I can be objective, Al.
I'm only being facetious, Toots. You know, it's been a long time, you know, in the making, and I would like to pause right now and thank Griselda Grizz, because had it not been for her, after having listened to your show, you know, that was the connect that led to my connect with, you know, Cheryl Lindsay and Rich Little Jazz, which has been just such a wonderful collaboration.
Yeah.
And I started to include this in the email that I sent you. My wish and plan all along was, quite naturally, due to my affiliation with Rich Little Jazz, was to have our station do the world premiere. But I wanted you, just as a means of saying thank you for the love and kindness and friendship that you've shown us, to be the very next DJ outside of Rich Little Jazz to have the distinction of being the first to spin this one.
Oh, thank you very much. That's really wonderful. Well, you know that you're always going to be a part of Hybrid Jazz, honestly, because you've got roots, and there's not another artist, whether they're still in Philly or not, because, you know, you've passed through that town, and now you're out of that town. But there's no artist that I know who's living who's able to convey the heart and soul of a city more than you. You breathe Philly to me. That song right there, man, I was walking through the streets of Chestnut Street, which is actually a street in Philadelphia.
I saw your post about Broad Street in Ocean City. Yeah, I mean, just brought back some really fond memories.
Man.
And quiet as it's kept, I'm back here for the time being. You know?
Oh, are you?
Yeah. So we're going to be hitting the DMV strong quite naturally. I look forward to partnering with you to help manifest, you know, whatever possibilities can come from that effort.
Yep.
And,
well, I've got the...
I'm very, very, very excited, you know, about the initial buzz that the track has gotten, and we look forward to, you know, that progress continuing. And
I would
like very much for you to be amongst the first, you know, to do a radio interview, so forth and so on. Because, you know, you're our sister, we love you. And as I said, it was through your station that I was able to connect with Rich Little Jazz. So I will be eternally grateful, you know, for that, and to Griselda as well. So on behalf of Ty, you know, and Abdul, you know, we thank you very much. And your listeners, you know, as well. Thank you so much for the wonderful compliments and just all the love, you know, that you're continuing to show us. We're very humbled and appreciative of that.
Well, you are quite welcome. And we'll stay in touch because there's a couple of recommendations if you're going to come to the DMV. Certainly, you know, since the last time we talked, things have changed. There are some new venues and new opportunities. So we'll we'll be on the shout-out in the next couple of days.
Appreciate that. Well, we're going to continue, you know, listening in to the show. It's not too often, as I told you, that I do have time because the pace is just so wicked right now. I'm moving about 800 miles an hour, but I certainly did want to make time, you know, just to share this experience with you and your listeners. And again, Trish, we thank you so much.
Well, I thank you, too, for having the time to talk. Now, listen, I want you to do me a favor and please get some rest because you sound a little tired to me, and you know I'll come to Philly and kick your butt if you don't get a little sleep.
Yes, ma'am. Listen, I'm trying to pace myself as best as I can, and Ty stays on me about that. You know, Abdul just got in town a few days ago, so he's here with us. We brainstorming like crazy, so I can't do it just yet, but, you know, I'm working on it. Okay, I hope that will suffice for the time being. At least I am trying.
All right, just make sure you get some organic tea, local honey, whole foods, good water. I'm being mom here, but you know it. That's what I'll be.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
And listen, give Tia a gigantic hug from Ty Abdul and myself. We look forward soon to meeting him as well, okay?
Yes, he looks forward to that as well. All right,
thank
Al,
you so
thank
much.
You so much. God bless.
Oh, my pleasure. Everyone, please enjoy the rest of your day and continue to support Hybrid Jazz as well. God bless everybody. Peace.
Bless you. Bye-bye, Al.
Bye-bye, Al.
I love it. Yes. Touch me in a special way. Woo! And listen, you have to make sure that you go to chestnutbrothers.com, okay? Matter of fact, I'm going to go there right now and see. I'm going to walk you through this because I like to do this anyway. This is just so fun because this is what live radio is all about. let's see. Yeah, there we go. See, I've already got it on the grid. Yeah. That's how you know you got there. Come on now. And you'll see, Al, as soon as you get there, and you can get that single, by the way, at CD Baby. Thank you for that reminder, Cher. I appreciate that. That's so awesome. Woo! Let's move this along, shall we? We're doing a Halloween show with a little bit of a twist because, you know, I got to say, and we'll talk more about this with Tom Lorne, in the third and final hour of the show. We've got a ways to go yet, but Halloween, and I see it on Facebook because people have talked about it back and forth, and people are a little sketchy because I am doing some things to just put it out there about Halloween, and maybe there is a little bit of hesitation because of my spiritual side that I put forth. And why is she talking about Halloween? I'll just mention this in passing. There is a lot that one could say about Halloween and the circumstances that it originated. But if you dig a little deeper, first you will find that it has some really deep spiritual connotation. And secondly, people get really troubled by the craziest arse things, don't they? Oh, come on, just lighten up, because we're all so bloody serious, and we got to get over that. We have to smile more. We have to laugh more. We have to find the common bond with all of us. I will not offend all my friends on Facebook who are good witches, because they've got their thing going on today. These are my sisters. These are my brothers. So in that kind of thought, let's move on, shall we, and get into a groove. Let's continue what Al Chestnut has started. Gail Johnson, Cruisin' After Dark with Lynn Rountree from her Herstory CD on Hybrid Jazz. This is Hybrid Jazz.
Church, they light the candle. of a modern day. From the window of a hotel room,
feels like there should be a hushed silence whenever there's a Joni Mitchell song being played these days, because hold on to your hats if you don't know this. Put a bookmark in that thought. Hijira is what we just heard from 1976. If you can believe that that song is, what, 30-something years old. Woof. This whole album is just so unbelievably meat and potatoes-like, and here's why. Joni got an inspiration. Actually, she was thinking of the translation of Arabic, Hijra, different spelling. She was thinking of the journey of the Prophet Muhammad from Mecca to Medina in 622 with his friends. Joni was going to make this solo trip from Maine to L.A., and all these songs started to pour out of her. She was thinking about the kind of, this is paraphrasing, the sweet poignancy, sometimes bliss, sometimes loneliness of making that journey. But there was always something that pushed her to formulate that next song. This was so beautiful because she had people who got her on this album, Larry Carlton, Abe Most on clarinet, John Guerin on drums, Jaco Pastorius, who got her more than most on fretless bass. Joni Mitchell will be 70 on November the 7th. Just take a minute now and let that digest. Yeah. Yeah. Seeing her these days is a little different, because for those of us who remember Joni back in the day, in the Woodstock days, those days when she was doing her little experimentation with everything, it's a little hard for us to forget that fresh-faced Canadian girl. And now we see this interesting, always inventive, deliriously creative matron who is just really, it's hard. It's hard. Because once again, when we age ourselves, we remember what we used to be, and we see this mirror reflection of someone else who might look different to us, but then we look in the mirror and go, whoa, I guess I'm getting older too. Hijra, beautiful. Nate Najjar, yay! Rising Moon from 2011's Until Now CD. Guitarist, composer, producer. He is looking forward to coming to this region. He loves coming to Baltimore, D.C. NateNajjar.com has information. When he comes here, he will be at Andy Music. He will be at, will he be at Blues Alley? Yes. He will be with Tommy Cecil and Chuck Redd. He's got an Annapolis, Maryland date there, too. So make sure you go and support a very hardworking, guitarist who just tries to bring to life different songs from the past as well as his own compositions. Wonderful guy. He was on the show not that long ago. Gail Johnson also has been a part of Hybrid Jazz Cruisin' After Dark. Her story from a couple of years ago, 2011, same year, Lynn Roundtree. Philly the Kid music, because she's a Philadelphia girl. Mm-hmm. Jazzinpink.com has information on where the girls are going to be if you want to see all of those beautiful ladies in concert. Man, when you see Jazz in Pink at a particular place like Burke's Jazz happening more or less in the spring of the year, you just never forget it, because Gail is the ringmaster of the group, and she makes sure that everybody is doing their thing, and everybody looks over to her, and she's just got that smile on her face at the keyboard. It's a beautiful thing. We have a beautiful man for you coming up at the top of next hour. Tom Lorem has been my friend now for just a short period of time. I'm anxious to know more. He's got a very strong story for this Halloween. Again, I wanted to make sure we had somebody like Tom to give a perspective on this October 31st. That will be a little different than what is the usual, so keep that in mind. Herbie Hancock, let's do Vein Melter, shall we? From Headhunters, from 1973, on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you. It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. Yet all the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. Yet I'm trying to please to the calling of your heartstrings that play soft and low. Yet all the night seem to whisper and hush, yet all the soft moonlight seems to shine in your blush. Can I just have one more moon dance with you, my love? Can I just make some more romance with you, my love? Well, I wanna make love to you tonight. I can't wait till the morning has come. Yet I know now the time is just right, and straight into my arms you will run. And when you come, my heart will be waiting to make sure that you're never alone. There and then all my dreams will come true, dear. There and then I will make you my own. And every time you just travel inside, then I know how much you want me that you can't hide. Can I just have one more moon dance with you, my love? Can I just make some more romance with you, my love? La 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 tragic night. Can I just have one moment dance with you, my love?
Woo! Woo, isn't that nice? Lord, have mercy. Van Morrison from 1970 and Moondance. Yeah, there's a few 70 songs we've been playing today. Just don't know what it is, but it just feels good. And I had to play that song because today is the last day of October. You know, that song is all about celebrating this month, and certainly I encourage that because for those of us who have birthdays during this month, it's really special. It just seems like around this time, maybe a little earlier in the month, you just smell what's coming. It's nesting, it's snuggling, and thank you, Al Chestnut, for pushing us in that direction because that song is certainly a snuggling song. It's harvest time, if you will. You just get warmer clothes on, and you know that just around the corner is Thanksgiving and then the holiday season. You know, all right, Thanksgiving is included in the holiday season, but you get the point. It just feels like a rebirth, even though spring is considered to be a rebirth time. For those of us who love this time of year, this is it. This is good. And here's what's so cool. The songs on Moondance, the name of the LP, if you will, as well, were written from a mountaintop in Woodstock, New York. Van had just moved with his wife there, and he wanted to get the feel of the local musicians. This was considered a really nice project because there were spontaneous fills in this particular work, and I have to mention this because all this time I have not known who was playing that sax. Jack Schroer on sax, Colin Tilton on flute. I'm reading my writing here. John Klingberg on bass, Gary Malabar on drums, Jack Platana on guitar. These are names that you don't normally hear, but apparently there was a situation where Van had a choice of using these musicians, or having the studio say to him, look, we've got these other guys, if you want to make use of them, because they're more used to the lay of the land, if you will. And Van said, nope, don't want them. Want to use these guys. Yeah, I liked that a lot when I heard that. We also heard Herbie Hancock from 1973, released during the month of October, by the way. Yeah. Headhunters, the name of the CD. Herbie wanted to go for earthy because he had been ethereal in the past couple of projects, and he wanted to find more of a down-to-earth approach. So we got our friend Harvey Mason on the track that you heard, Vane Melter, and all the other tracks, and great people, Bill Summers and Benny Maupin, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Elton John's partner. Paul Jackson, just the A-team, as you might suspect. And something that you may not know, the mask on the jacket was inspired by an African tribe, and the presence of these kinds of masks were called on during times of danger or epidemics or death. And I thought that was a particular Halloween-like thought to pass along to you. Now that I am seeing that we have about 20 minutes or so, the flavor might change a little bit because we had the conversation with Al Chestnut that I absolutely loved. So, again, every time we make mention of who's going to be on the show, it's always subject to change because of these little spontaneous things that we do. So can I just do something a little different here? I really want to be able to play this song by Robert Glasper, brand new as of Tuesday, Black Radio 2. Now, Robert Glasper is certainly getting profound buzz, not just in jazz, but all the way across the board, because He's one of these young cats in his mid-30s that has had a lot of influences when he was growing up, hip-hop and R&B and gospel. So you throw that into the mix, and because of the creativity involved with his keyboard work and who he puts together, it's always something magnificent. This particular track just shut me down for about 5 minutes or so. This is Layla Hathaway and Malcolm Jamal Warner on this track. And what the track is called is, let's just let it speak for itself on Hybrid Jazz. Pretty profound.
That makes the devil backtrack into his lair. Yeah, these young souls are soothsayers, spiritual players, accelerator graduators of this game called life. Spending 16s making Biggie breakdance and Frankie seem like Layla's dad, with 10,000 other souls watching true love withhold nothing. And through dry tears, we'll spend the next few years silently screaming why, until we realize that their spiritual awakening already understood their undertaking the moment they appeared in the womb playing locker room, creating heated debates that should have been sparked sooner than the dark hell of December 2000. 2012. And now they dance the story of masters much faster than a polygamous pastor can tell a lie, faster than you can wipe from your eyes the soot of deceit. Now these kids dance the story that tell us to delete the feeling of being incomplete from our consciousness, to let these 6 and 7 year olds take a hold of our consciousness, to remind us to laugh, scream, and let our inner child fly higher than deferred dreams seldom seen. Through the lens of love and gratitude, let's give our children love and gratitude. Fly high. Shine and fly high, fly high, fly high. Fly high, fly high, fly high, fly high, fly high,
fly high.
So if you think that I'm going to do a sexy show as part of the format here today and not play Sade, you got another thing coming. Woo! Mercy. From 1985. Hard to believe now. That particular single was released in November of that year from Promise, Sweetest Taboo. And actually, the name of the album came from a promise that Sade's father had given to her. He wanted her to have the hope, the promise, if you will, that he would survive from cancer. I didn't know that until recently. Beautiful thing. Second studio project from Sade, Helen Fula Sade, Adieu. My doctor now is apparently kin to the Adieus, so I'm never going to give up my doctor because that's my connection to Sade, you know? Oh, such a song, one of the best ever, and time is getting to be of the essence, and I want to move along to make sure that you understood what you heard, because it was just a little unusual to be able to play a song like that, and then the previous song from Tim Green on saxophone, Songs from the Season, from this season, which is actually one of the finer albums that you could put your money on in 2013. The name of the track was Philippians 4:13. Essentially, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yes, even resisting temptation. Woo! Tim Green, by the way, just so you know how good this local hometown hero is, Baltimore roots. He's going to be touring with Michael Bublé. That's tomorrow, and yeah, he'll be in Tampa doing a lot of dates with Michael and then coming back into the region to be with the Matt Savage Quartet at Andy Music. And Matt is one of these young piano players that we'll be hearing a lot more of. If Tim Green is playing with Matt, then that bodes well. A lot we could say about Tim Green, and I have waxed poetic about him many, many times. You know how much I adore the man. Layla Hathaway and Malcolm Jamal Warner doing their part on Black Radio 2, just released 2 days ago. On the CD as well, you should know Jill Scott, Dwele, Brandy is on the CD. Lots of folks wanted to get together with Glasper to do this. It's really monumental. Just so folks in the region know, he just played New York and coming tomorrow to the Meyerhoff in Baltimore with Common and Marcia Ambrosius. Yes, yes, yes. I'm sorry if you're not in this region. Maybe you could make it a point to come. I don't know if there are tickets available, but doesn't that sound delicious? Mm-hmm. We've got Tom Lorham coming up in mere moments. Let's get a couple of songs in, one of them from Tom on guitar. First, I promised that I would have Jeff Golub and Brian Auger. Got to play my Brian. This is a song that should be played on Halloween. It's called The Cat from Train Keeps a Rollin' on Hybrid Jazz. Hybrid Jazz. When I hear a song like that and just gravitating to guitar recently in a whole new way, it just puts me back so many years when we all heard the guitar for the first time, when someone is so capable of being able to include different kinds of soul, whether it's rock or fusion or classical or jazz, and putting them all together or standing all by themselves. When you feel somebody feeling it, it makes you feel it too. So here is my guest, specifically chosen for this Halloween show, guitarist extraordinaire and composer and new pal, Tom Loram. Tom, how are you?
Trish, I am great. How are you today?
I am great. Oh, see, now this is so cool because you and I have never spoken on the phone before. So this is a whole different kind of feel, pal.
yeah, the media great these days.
It's just really wonderful to be able to connect with you, and there's no question about it. How is it that you came my way? What happened for you and I to make this connection? We know it's God, for sure, but how was it specifically for you? How'd you find out about what I was doing?
I just saw your site pop up. I think it was on Indie Network or something, and I checked out your music, and it was kind of in the vein of what I was doing. So I just reached out, basically just let you know I like the show.
That's
kind of surprised
cool.
I ended up on the show, but.
Oh, no. Look, you know, especially when you said to me, you know, maybe I could just give you a couple of songs from my soon-to-be-released CD, and they're not even mastered yet, but you can debut them. I thought to myself, this is wonderful. I love that. So I appreciate you, and you were certainly asked to be on the show today because you've got a particular kind of journey, and I really felt a connection to you. You've really come a long way to get to this point, haven't you?
Yeah, God has been absolutely amazing. He's kept every promise. He saw something in me I didn't. He's definitely using me. So, you know, I'm just blessed.
You are, but you didn't always feel that way. And I want to go back in time because music for you, when you picked up that guitar, did you really pick it up because you wanted to feel a kind of healing because your home situation was not exactly ideal, right?
No, definitely not. I kind of grew up in an abusive situation. Actually, from what I recall, being little, because I've been playing guitar ever since I could almost walk.
Oh, my.
I was introverted and having a lot of issues and whatnot. And part of what they tried was like, let's give him an instrument and see what happens. And it wasn't my intention when I picked the instrument as a young child to heal with it. But over the years.
Right. You just thought it was a good outlet because, I mean, I know that things were bad, but I didn't necessarily know that they were abusive. So, you know, once again, we've talked on the show so many times, Tom, about the power of music. And when you're a little guy or a little gal, the best thing that you can do, if that little person is predisposed to playing, is to put an instrument in their hand. Because how many times have you turned to that guitar through the years thinking of it as an oasis, an outlet for you?
Oh, yeah, quite a bit. Sure, actually. Like I said, the way I grew up, I ended up very shy, very introverted. I didn't fit into any kind of circles growing up. I was pretty much on my own. You know, when I wasn't playing music, I guess, I got to the point I was going through depressions, ended up involved with alcohol and drugs and all the fun of that life.
Fun, yeah.
Yeah, I guess music was about the, you know, I didn't have a relationship with God back then by any means. I mean, it was pretty much music and that.
Yeah. And you were trained classically, were you not?
Yeah, the first time I started playing guitar, I actually took classical for a couple of years, and I switched over to jazz for about a year. So that's how I learned my craft.
And then, as is so often the case, because you know what? You don't have to say anything at all. I don't know how old of a person you are or how young of a person you are, but it happens so much of the time that when there is someone who gravitates to an instrument and they're trained in a classical manner and they also learn jazz, different age groups are just also in love with rock and rock fusion, and that's what happened to you.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. When I hit my teens and stuff, I was, you know, I had no friends and stuff, and I was just kind of craving anything from other people. So, you know, classical wasn't cutting it. So I went the rock extreme for a while, you know, hoping to meet friends, hoping to meet girls, of course. I was still introverted, so I got into some pretty good bands and got in front of a lot of people, but my demeanor didn't change. So I was still kind of by myself, just around a lot of people.
So did you feel like you were different because of how shy you were? Is that why you felt different?
Yeah, I had no esteem whatsoever. I wasn't kind of raised in a situation that would have nurtured me to think anything of myself. And I never knew how to relate to people. So, like I said, even when I got into certain bands and I got a lot of attention, I didn't even know what to do with the attention. So.
I'm trying to envision that. You're being very vulnerable here, and I appreciate that. And you got to eventually be so good that you met Jody Watley and Pieces of a Dream, and you were hanging out with some pretty special people.
Yeah, yeah, I continued to elevate through all that, all the mess, even the drinking, the drugs, and all that stuff. The bands I got in for a while tend to grow. It was like one of the first bands I played in actually was a jazz fusion band of all things. So I had to get really good playing that kind of music. But
yeah.
Yeah, I eventually got on stage with backing up and performing with some pretty big artists. So that was, you know, pre-finding Christ in my life, but still.
And that was 2004 when things changed for you because you became a Christian in that year, correct?
Correct, yeah. I finally hit bottom. I got to the point I was actually trying to end my life a few times, and it got to the point I just didn't want to carry on my life anymore. I was not grown or raised, rather, in any Christian environment. I was nowhere near a church or anything. But somehow voice got through to me and told me I mattered, and I figured out that the voice was Christ.
Well, I shared my your story with my son because he was very much interested and what your journey has been like, because I played the tracks that you've given me, including Chrysalis that we just heard, and he's very interested in this path because, you know, Tom, so many of our young people, including my son, he wouldn't mind me saying this, you know, they go through their bouts of depression because this is a very difficult world to find yourself in. Back then when you were trying to find you, those were tough enough times. But now, in 2013, with so many choices, so many temptations, so many pressures to be a certain kind of person, what would you say to somebody who's young? T is 21, and he's going to college, and he's working. But, you know, I know probably what you would say, but what was it? Did it... When it kicked in, when you finally became a Christian, you still have to work out those kinds of things. It's not like all of that stuff evaporates, right? The depression and
oh,
et cetera.
No, not at all. I've been a Christian since 2004, and God is still doing a lot of work in my life, a lot of healing. I actually, when I first got saved, I left music for a while because I was such a mess. It's like God actually had me out serving. I was doing homeless ministry. I was doing hospice volunteer for a while, working
in
a shelter,
awesome.
A family shelter for kids. And God directed me there, and I didn't get what he was doing at first. And what he was doing was he was putting my life back together. He was actually healing me because I took the focus off me. I put it on God, and I put it on other people, and that actually turned me around.
Oh, yeah. When you see folks in hospice care, if that doesn't change you, nothing will.
Yeah, exactly. That was the first thing God had me do. I actually ended up arguing with God about it. It was like, you know, he wants me to volunteer. I was like, fine, I'll go volunteer. And I kept seeing hospice stuff pop up around me, and I figured out God was pushing me that way. And I was like, I'm not comfortable with this. But, you know, I obeyed, and it turned me around. I guess in answering to your question, because I encounter, you know, not that I'm old or anything, I guess, but I encounter quite a few young people in my ministry now, and I do tell them, it's like, you know, definitely seek God, seek Christ first, but find out, you know, who you are in that, who you are in Christ, and chase that, chase your dreams, chase what God gave you a passion for.
That's important.
And that's important because that still gets lost, even in the Christian realm of things. People forget the fact that, you know, God created you. You need to seek who you are in God. Your relationship with God is all about what he intends for you. It's tricky at first.
Yeah, because you know what? People don't understand that the intention is not for you to be miserable. You know?
Right, exactly.
There really is some joy if you figure out, and how many times has this been a facet of conversation, Tom? And this is one of the most important things anybody can ever realize. What you think is going to be good for you is nothing compared to what God
Amen.
Has in mind for you.
Amen. Amen. Definitely. Whew. Something I have learned in my prayer life and everything. I take my petitions to God, and like, God, I'd like this to happen, but your will be done. Your will be done. He said no to some things I've asked for, and like you said, something else opened up. I was like, wow, this is something I never even dreamed of, and this is bigger and better.
Yeah, and then when you have that realization that certain things ideas and answers are coming to you that you didn't expect. It's like a high, isn't it? It's like a high.
Yeah, I would definitely say that.
And it's better than any high, because, honey, we have not shared this conversation before, but I had done my share of drugs and alcohol in the past, too. So when you realize that what opens naturally for you, what you're finding out along your pathway is much more of a happier high than anything artificial. It's really amazing. You can't possibly explain that to somebody if they don't go through it.
Exactly, exactly. And then the things you want to search for in your relationship with Christ, peace and joy are the main things. You know, it's derived by faith, but, you know, we live in a world that says everything that makes you good, everything that matters is outside of you. And it's circumstances and it's in things and, it, you know, and the relationship with God is actually the other way around.
That's interesting that you would put it that way. Everything that's important is outside of you. Explain that, because that's interesting.
Well, so just like you said, when I talk to younger people and stuff, they're always talking about success in life and, you know, the money and the things, of course, but also the accolades from people and the prestige and the things that, you know, the Bible refers to as pride a lot of times. And that stuff, even when you achieve it, it doesn't fulfill. It doesn't fulfill, and that's why you get people that they just never—they're never happy with what they have, and they never have enough, and they're looking to the wrong things in the wrong place in their life. It's like, you know, I consider myself when I could actually look in the mirror and say I don't hate myself anymore, and I feel like I matter. I feel like I matter. It was like I realized at that point I was rich. It didn't matter what was in my bank account or my pocket at the moment. My circumstances didn't matter.
Wow.
That's when the relationship really matters. I mean, the other things have been improving. God's taking care of every aspect of my life, but that's the part of the relationship I think really matters most, and that's what people, even in the Christian realm, don't always get.
Well, you know, it makes me so sad because I see some people who have good intentions, and they say that they follow Jesus, but they get so down, and they get so discouraged. And the fact of the matter is that we were never promised, any of us, to have a cakewalk. I actually saw somebody say on Facebook, and this is where it gets dangerous, Tom, because I think that we all spend too much time on Facebook anyway. That's certainly, it can be the devil's den, honey. But I saw somebody actually say that they found out that a friend's husband had passed away from cancer. And this lady said, right now I'm so angry. It's just, I know that people have to go through a grieving process, but it's so fruitless to be angry. And I know people have to express that, and horrible things happen to us. Not that we're looking for it, because when we start to look for them, they will happen to you. You have to have faith that things will work themselves out. But how do you go about your day-to-day when you say that you have faith? How do you put that into action as far as your music is concerned, like these days, for example?
Well, part of it is what you mentioned at the beginning of the conversation. The last thing I ever wanted to be with people is transparent and tell them where I was and where I am currently. And even when I go through day-to-day, because like you said, it is not a cakewalk. I get challenged. Things go downhill. I still struggle to this day with depression and things like that because, you know, God's still fixing things in my life. But it's the transparency, I guess, the obedience to what God's called me to do, because I wasn't comfortable getting to the level I've gotten musically. I wasn't comfortable even going solo. But God was like, I need you to get out there because your testimony is what really matters in the whole thing.
And so, you heard that loud and clear. Yep.
So like I said, there was something else that, you know, I ended up arguing with God about, and, you know, God will let you argue. You never win, but
you know, for some of us, it takes a certain amount of beating your head against the wall before you finally are paying attention. I know it probably happened
right,
to you, too.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's happened.
Yeah.
I've lost everyone. I'm doing what he wants, so.
Well,
I went solo in front of a crowd in Atlanta, a real huge crowd. I went up there and actually told my testimony. I wasn't happy about it, but.
And what did you feel like when you were saying it? Did you feel uncomfortable? Do you still feel in front of audiences that you're shy? What is it that you're feeling?
I have a pretty good amount of stage fright, and all the music stuff I did over the years, it was in front of a lot of people, but I was always in a band or backing somebody up. I was
right.
never front
yeah.
and center before like that ever. I've never actually gotten on the mic and talked to people until about a year ago at all. And then, you know, I struggle with the fact that I've started to do very well musically, but I keep worrying about the fact that it's not me trying to be a star. It's me just having to get my story in front of more people. So, I keep, you know, feeling like, wow, I'm up there on the stage by myself and there's a big crowd of people or something. This might appear, you know, I'm coming some sort of megastar or something, which is not what I want.
Well, the fact of the matter is that it looks like the record company that you are associated with thinks of you as a big star because you've got a CD release party coming in November, and that's part of the excitement of these doors opening up for you. Share about that because that's really wonderful, Tom. I'm so happy for you.
I appreciate that. I'm excited myself. This is like a first major accomplishment for me on my own. But, a year ago, a guy called me to be a solo artist, and I was broke. I was already backing up some big singers and not real comfortable with that. I was like, okay, God, you want me to go solo? How in the world am I going to do this? I have no CD, no video, no nothing. So I went and did session for this one singer, and she was with this small, basically beginning Christian label, and we negotiated, and I signed with them, and they've been backing me ever since. And the whole fit is good for me because it's Christ-centered, of course, but the label's small, but they're so Christ-centered. They don't look at themselves as, you know, we're small, we're beginning. They're already powerful in God. They're in obedience, and they're right where God wants them to be. So
that's so cool.
They've been making the way, and, like, I just finished a CD. It took about a year to get all that done, and we're finishing my video in the next couple of weeks as well. So they definitely believe in me, and they definitely encourage me, which, you know, is really needed some days.
Well, this is pretty awesome, then, to hear that little backdrop, because you sent me a couple of songs, and I've got two here, and I thought we would play one. We heard Chrysalis, and you're getting a lot of airplay on Chrysalis because you post the different places that are playing it, and I'm really tripping. Woo! This is like happening fast and furiously for you.
Yeah, me too, and I'm learning this as I go. I posted stuff because one of the singers I work for, they actually had to teach me. You know, you want to promote the radio stations that are promoting you, so that's the main reason I do it. You know, the label has my management and a publicist and, you know, doing all the stuff, getting me on the radio and things like that. But, you know, every time I know somebody's playing me, I get a tweet or something like that, I definitely post it. And, yeah, I lost track, but I think I'm on 6 continents right now. I got
great.
2 singles out. They're totally kind of different from one another, but they're definitely, I mean, out there. I'm just, you know, I'll be honest, I cry sometimes when I get so many tweets going. I cannot believe people are playing the song, and then I get messages sometimes from the area that they play the songs in, from people that have heard the songs.
Well,
so it's not just like they're just out there on the radio, big deal. It's like people are actually, you know, checking me out or checking out what I'm doing or whatever.
Tom, you've got such a childlike heart, and that is the beautiful thing. That's exactly what the New Testament talks about. I know Jesus talked about that a few times. To have that kind of childlike vision of the world and to be transparent, and it's funny that you said that because one of the pastors, T and I, my son, we found a wonderful church, and we are just so thrilled because we had searched for a good church to attend. But one of the messages that we got was exactly that. When you say the word transparent, people ordinarily think, oh, that means superficial. But this pastor didn't mean it that way at all. This pastor meant, you know, it showing who you are and who you are all the time, not some of the time, but allowing people to see who you are and who shines through you. And that's what you mean, essentially.
Wow.
Yeah.
It is.
So we've got these two songs. I've got Esperanza that I think I'll save. And then I've got another song, and you know which one I mean. It's got an unusual title, Tom.
Yukalua. You know what? I can't even pronounce it. It's sad.
It's your song.
I know. The word, I believe, the translation, it's in Zulu. And the translation is to the word peace, I believe. And the reason I named it that is, as you've probably heard with my CD, it's a bunch of different cultures and different nationalities involved in the music.
Yes.
It's because I played so many different kinds of music and stuff. I just wanted to incorporate everything that I was feeling and doing right now. And this song you're referring to, it has a very heavy South African beat behind it. In my band, which I'm blessed with anyway, I have a really good percussionist. This guy studied different cultures. He plays all the instruments of these cultures. He can break down everything he even does. So having him in the band, I'm able to do things like Brazilian, Cuban, different African nationalities. And this song was I took a percussion that he and I kind of figured out together and put the guitar around it.
Pretty cool. Okay. So I'm excited, and of course there's a whole bunch more questions, but let's play this. As far as I can tell, because I spelled it UTHUKULAMP. Is that correct?
Let me see. I'm on my pen in front of me here. That's pretty close. You have to forgive me. I had to figure out what the primary languages for South Africa was, and next to English, it was Zulu, it looked like, so that's why I chose that word, and it fit the song, so.
Well, is it Afrikaanse?
The word is Zulu, which is one of their main languages there.
Zulu, gotcha, okay.
Yep.
Gotcha. That's what I've heard is the language that is native to South Africa, but there's also variations on a theme there. I don't even pretend to know. It's fascinating to me, and that's one of those preferred destinations to go to someday, South Africa. But okay, so you pronounce the name of the song again, Tom.
I'm guessing now, but Yukalua, I believe it is.
All righty. Whatever it is, you're going to enjoy it right here on Hybrid Jazz. Our guest is Tom Loram. the cold ending, too. Tom Loram there, and something from the forthcoming CD. What is the name of the CD going to be, Tom?
It's called A Work in Progress.
Oh, my gosh. Is that appropriate?
Yep, exactly.
Oh, my gosh. And that's so cool. How did you find the folks that are working with you on the CD? Is it because of the association with the record label or what?
No, actually, they're all individuals I work with over the years since I've been saved. And I kind of would like, you know, either work with them or I'd play someplace they were playing. And I kind of jokingly would say, hey, you're going to work with me one day. Hey, I'm going to work with you one day. So it was God. It was all God putting the whole thing together. I had to find a group of musicians that were obviously capable of doing what I'm doing, but were Christ-centered, could at least share my vision, even if they couldn't see it fully. And we're versatile because I'm not stuck to a genre. God told me to play music. I'm not playing a particular type of music. So
that's really interesting. So when we hear the whole of the CD, we're apt to find any kind of music because that certainly has the implications of world music. I mean, that sounds like something that you would it's so cool. It's a combination of rock and something that you would hear if you walked into a hot spot in Johannesburg.
Right. That's how music has been working, actually. God basically told me, you know, just go play music. I don't want you to put me in a box. I've got a lot of background in music, so it's all coming out. My favorite musician growing up and stuff was always Sting. And he was kind of, you could not genre him at all. He just played music, and you could put him in any section of the record store for what he did.
So, oh, yes. Yes.
That's what I've been doing, too. And part of what I didn't see with God was he put me out there as an instrumentalist, so I was able to do much. But then I'm playing a varied style, so I'm getting all kinds of radio stations because of that.
Isn't that interesting? and it's got to be a situation where these folks who are in these different radio outlets, whether it's online or terrestrial radio or satellite, must get the word from where you're already playing to be able to figure out, okay, this really sounds different. Let's examine this closer. I love that. You're probably way more excited than you're admitting, aren't you?
Pretty much, yeah. I'm kind of low-key today, so.
Yes, you are.
I'm more amazed than all this. I never saw any of this coming, so, yeah, I'm totally amazed.
Yeah, you never saw it coming. That's very interesting. When did it all start to take shape that you were going to do this CD? Because you're just about to put the finishing touches on it, and you're going to give us a date, right, about when it's going to be finished?
And yeah, actually, it's the day of the release party. It'll be out November 23rd.
Awesome.
And I guess I got the inkling to do the CD when I signed with the label about a year ago. Because when God put me back into music, which is about 4 years ago, I was going to probably do praise and worship locally or something. I didn't envision doing it as a career again, but God put me out with some singers, and I grew and it grew, you know, because of the singers I was working with. They were putting me in front of a lot of people, and they were also giving me free rein to solo and do things, you know, I do naturally.
Mm.
And I guess I hooked up with a label. It's just like the CD was the next step.
And, you know, this raises a point, too, because we've never really clarified this. It's funny because if you go to your Facebook page, naturally, Tom, one of the first things I picked up, your wife definitely has a sense of humor, but I didn't know that it was her idea. It actually says that you live in Antarctica.
That was family stuff going on, whatever, so I had to be a little vague about things.
Oh, gotcha.
But,
okay.
Yeah, but that was we picked the country that I was going to live in, and that ended up being the country. Not quite that far north or south or whatever it is. It's south, isn't it?
Well, now, where were your roots? Where did you grow up?
Oh, I grew up in Maryland, in the D.C. Area of Maryland.
Okay. That's what I figured out, but, you know, because I know that you're playing regionally now, and the CD release party, it's an open situation, right? Anybody can come?
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely.
And where is that going to be on the 23rd?
That's a place in Baltimore, city of Baltimore. Gosh, I should have the information in front of me, right? They rented
you know
a hall for me.
They mm-hmm. did? Okay, let me go see if I can try to help you find it.
Oh, this is not good to be on a radio interview and not have your info.
Oh, no, that's
my
okay.
Not listening.
I got it. And how do you pronounce your record label name? Is it Shekinah?
Oh, Shekinah.
Shekinah, okay.
Shekinah.
So it's going to be on Liberty Heights Avenue in Gwin Oak. And what is the name of the place?
Oh, it is the name of it's a hall in the retirement building. It's a really big, beautiful hall.
Okay, cool. And you've got some folks that are going to be there with you, and you're the main attraction.
Yeah, amazing, huh?
Yeah. That's pretty awesome. So who are these other people that are featured on this pretty attractive little poster?
Oh, those are different artists I've known and worked with ever since I've got saved, a couple of them beforehand even. I've got one of my favorite hip-hop artists, Nonfiction's on there. Dave James is an incredibly gifted singer. He's friends with the family. I knew him before I was saved even. Just an artist I've been able to work with the last four whatever years and have gotten kind of close to. To be honest, if I invite every artist I want on there, I would have had 50 or 60 artists, so I have a limit.
Right. Yeah, this is going to be very interesting for some friends who have known the other folks that are going to be in attendance there who are actually going to be performing and you, because it's always fascinating when there are people from your prior life who come to see you and you're different. Woo!
Yep.
I love that.
Yep.
I love that.
Yep.
Oh, very interesting. Well, you know that I'll keep posting it as the days go by so people are aware of what kind of special event this is going to be, because it looks like it's getting a lot of attention because this poster is being passed around.
Quite a bit. There's three event pages for it because there's actually a national promoter friend of mine is promoting it as well.
Awesome.
He's got a page for it. And then Shekinah, I had not figured out why. We have two event pages, and there's people in both of them. So, it is definitely being passed around. It made it to the Philippines. I don't know if anybody's flying in.
Maybe.
Made it to England. I'm glad they shared it. I was like, I'm not sure if anybody's going to, you know, spend a fortune to fly out just for this event, but, you know.
Hey, you don't know, because there are a lot of people that are in our varying circles, Tom, that have a whole lot of money. Maybe you and I don't have that, but not yet, but a lot of folks in our circles do. So if they right. think that somebody is of value, they spare no expense to fly over to see them. So if these good things are happening to you now, you can probably expect more good things to be happening. You just don't know what's going to take place that night.
Right, right, gotcha. And there's so many different types of radio stations that we're playing me and stuff, and some of them are sharing the flyer, so it's not I know I'm on contemporary Christian and gospel stations, but I'm also on standard jazz stations, and they're sharing it as well, I believe, so.
That's so cool. Well, actually, you know, a week or so ago, we had a gentleman who has made some inroads in the contemporary jazz world. He's also a guitarist, Patrick Yandel. And you and he are cut from the same cloth in that Patrick chafes at the notion of being categorized. He's happy for people embracing him in the more contemporary jazz circles, but he does a lot of rock stuff, and he actually, you'll enjoy this, he did a song for the group Fatburger a few years ago, and
okay.
he was approached to... Actually, people asked him if it would be all right if they used his song in that movie that's getting Oscar buzz, Fruitvale Station. So,
oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So Patrick has had a couple of songs now in movies, and I can see that that's going to be happening for you, too. You are a kind of artist that speaks to a wide arena, varying kinds of people, and you're going to get attention in circles that you weren't even considering getting attention.
Agreed. I've actually made it onto college campus stations now.
Stands to reason.
I didn't see that coming either. So, no, I totally agree with you. It's like, don't put God in a box with what he can do with you. It's amazing.
Well, and look at your confidence level now. You said at one point during this little time here that you didn't like yourself at one point in life. And now look at the confidence that's bubbling inside of you because you know what you're capable of. You know you have a gift.
Yep. And I know God's using it. That's the thing I keep preaching over and over again, man. It's like, you know, be obedient. Let God have his way with you because the feeling you get, you know, God's using you. God? You know, if you're not going to feel worth about anything else, that should definitely make you feel like you matter and that, you know, you can do all kinds of things with you.
Yep, that's right. Well, this song...
You're not
going
to top that. I'm sorry.
No, I know. And you say it with such conviction. And that's one of those light bulb moments. Of course I'm going to feel good about myself because God's using me. That's just so true. I love it. This song, Esperanza. Now, we know that the word Esperanza means hope, but did you actually write this because of inspiration regarding Esperanza Spalding?
Well, I didn't write it in regards to that. It's when I played back the chord progression, I felt kind of hope about it. So, I of course, it's a Cuban bass on this song. The progression all is straight out of Cuba. So, I, again, look for a word that try to capture the feeling of the song in that language. So that's where I came up with that word.
I can pronounce that word, by the way. Say that again?
Yep. I can pronounce that one, though.
I'm so glad. You're going to have to practice on the other title, okay?
Yeah, big time. Big time. Especially, I've got a lot of friends in South Africa that follow me, so if I go over there and mess that title up.
Yeah. Well, they'll be right there to correct you, so that's the good thing. Hey, look, if you get a chance to go to South Africa, will you care if you're corrected? You won't care.
As long as they're not angry with me, no.
No, not at all. Well, this is from the forthcoming CD as well. This is Tom Loram and Esperanza on Hybrid Jazz. Enjoy. You know how cool this is, Tom? It's like you're taking a trip around the world and never have to leave the farm.
Exactly. I posted that last week. I was like, you know, my music is traveling. I wish I could travel like this.
Yes. Wow. Yes. Ooh, this is going to be really tasty for folks who want to hear some guitar work from somebody who's actually done all these kinds of styles, and then to put them on one CD. Because usually, and you know this, when there is a particular artist who has a work out, it's usually a similar thread throughout. So to have this kind of tasty variation, we really need that, because some of us really require staycations as opposed to vacations.
right. I'm just kidding. I never thought of it that way, but you're right.
Oh, yeah. We really are living vicariously through other people. So if you can help that along, that's wonderful.
Okay, that's an additional reason to do the CD now. I never even considered that. Thank you.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. Well, listen, I have to ask you a question, because I'm so curious about your time that you had a similar artist in this journey, Cassia, the poet. Tell me about that experience with Cassia.
Yeah, definitely. A guy at one point told me he wanted to do my music, but I needed the mouthpiece, and I prayed on it. It was like, I didn't mind working with a singer, but it seemed to me a little typical. It's like having an acoustic or electric guitarist with a singer. It's been done so often, so I was trying to seek a different way to do it, and he said to do something with a spoken word artist. And same thing, we were like mixing and matching different styles of music, and her background was similar. She didn't come from the exact same background as me, but she had a lot of challenges growing up and whatnot, and our ministries combined pretty powerfully. So we went out for, I guess almost 2 years. We put together a CD, which yet has to be released, but we did release a single and a video from it, and they did really well. And we went out and played all over the place, so...
And what were you called, so we can try to find the video and we can help support that when the time comes? What were you called together?
Yeah, it was called the initials, the CNT connection. The and is that and sentence, whatever that is, that and sign, not the word and.
Gotcha,
and
the symbol.
The symbol, I think. It might be the word and. I can't remember, but it's the CNT connection. It was just a play on our first names.
Well, cool. Now, what's Cassia doing now?
She's doing a clothing line. She's a fashion designer.
Oh!
She's doing her own solo thing right now. We never broke up, per se. We just both got called to different areas right now. So I don't know if we're going to get back to CNT or what's going to happen down the road. But she's putting out, I guess, a CD right now as well. And she does a clothing line called Paraclete. This is French. So I'm going to mess it up. Paraclete Culture, I think it is.
Well, good for her. She
had
a door open
that
she didn't expect, too. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, she's my little sister. We've, cried on each other's shoulders, I guess, a little bit and stuff, but she's overcome quite a bit in her life, and God's definitely using her, so I'm proud of her. I'm really, I
That's
miss
great.
Doing that, but like I said, the solo thing kind of took off last year, and God took me out of that right now, I guess, to focus on the solo project, so.
Well, you know what? You wouldn't have become the person that you are. I was really taken in reading your background. You really did turn your attention to the homeless and poverty outreach and hospice. If you hadn't done that, you would have never felt the kind of selflessness that you feel now, because when you go through the circumstances, Tom, that you've endured, you could really go in a different direction. People become narcissists for the reasons that you have suffered. People start to feel themselves like continual victims, and you weren't allowed to wallow in that. So God had you go to these different places where you wouldn't have even considered going, but it was meant for your growth. And then you were enabled to hear music a whole new way.
Exactly, and then see the use of it even. like I said, it's kind of funny. It's the music is definitely doing something already, and people, when they hear the songs, they tell me they can feel what I'm trying to portray in the songs. I don't sing, of course, but I've opened up my mouth. I've shared my testimony in quite a few places and a lot of radio interviews, and that seems to be, you know, wow, people are like, well, contact me. I felt alone. I didn't know Jesus was there for me until you said something.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you definitely, it's like, there's a lot of hurting people out there.
Oh, are you kidding? Yeah, we know. We do know that, and this is why you should never concern yourself, and I don't think that you will, but in the way of feeling, you know, maybe like you didn't do a lick in a particular way if you're on stage, or maybe that didn't sound the way you wanted it to sound. You've got way more important matters to consider now, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I spend a couple hours a day on the guitar because I definitely want God to be able to use my gift, which means I've got to make sure my gift is up to standard for it. But, yeah, you're right. I got away from the technical playing because for, you know, a long time I got caught up in being a musician, and now I'm playing more of like, you know, it's better to hit the right note and somebody to feel it than to sit down and, you know, play every scale I've ever learned and try to show people, hey, I'm really good. You know, it's like...
Yeah, because people,
it
you do. You could get consumed with that. And the fact is, you know when certain people affect you, you don't think about them playing perfectly. You think about how they've touched your soul.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
exactly. A lot of my favorite musicians were like that, so yeah.
And it doesn't matter. I mean, we've heard folks that have every note perfectly done. We know some vocalists who can hit those high notes, and that's great. But guess what? Some of the time that leaves us cold, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, actually. I hear technical musicians that are brilliant can probably play me under the table. But when they play and not knock anybody, it's like I walk away feeling nothing. And then I've heard musicians where,
so
you know,
right.
I've heard guitarists that were, I could say, hey, I'm technically better than this guitarist that's on stage right now, but he's making me cry. He's making me look at my life right now, and I'm like, that's music. That's God.
Oh, yeah. And you just can't have enough of those experiences. When something like that happens to you at an event, and especially when you didn't expect it, your whole life changes. Honestly, Tom, years ago, I was at a Chuck Gerrard concert, and maybe not a whole lot of people will know who Chuck Gerrard is, but he was one of those contemporary gospel singers and piano players, and he just got us. And here we are talking. We've got 90 seconds left, Tom Lorm.
Uh-oh. Yes. I guess we won't cover the rest of my life.
Well, look, we'll have to do this again, and we'll definitely have to see you. Make sure you give us an address on where people can find information, more information about you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, the Shekinah Records label does have a site, which is ShekinahRecords.com. I can spell all that if you want.
Yep.
Let me make sure I spell this correct. Shekinah.
That's
records.
What we need. And now we've got less than 60 seconds. And see, I told you it was going to happen like this, right? Well, we'll definitely see you on the 23rd. We'll see you.
Otherwise, you can find me on Facebook under Tom Lorm, T-H-O-M Lorm, L-O-U-R-I-M.
Okay.
And you can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Reverb Nation.
Yay! Tom, thank you so much for being here today, and we'll talk to you soon, and we'll keep on playing your music. So there.
I appreciate it, Trish. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you.
Okay.
Bye-bye. And we'll see you next time, next Tuesday, first Tuesday on Hyper Jazz. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for the chat room.